At this time, we're going to have Anna and Austin and Suzumi. I'm going to invite them up. We're going to start with those three to come share their testimonies. And so as they're making their way up here, we'll let... Anna, do you want to start for us? So we'll let Anna come and share, and then we'll rotate down. So
this was my second time going down to Mexico, but I kind of found myself a little bit more nervous. I was worried that the trip wouldn't be as powerful and spiritually growing as it was last year. But let me tell you, God smashed those worries in half. And as he does again and again, he proved way beyond my expectations. And what he really put on my heart down there is to love others with the love that he gives us. And tell them how much they mean to you before it's too late. It was a beautiful trip, and I would never pass it up. I'm so glad and thankful for everyone who helped us and to make it down safely and back, and I praise God because he is so good.
Hi, I'm Suzumi. I went to Mexico for the first time. I couldn't imagine myself to go to Mexico for a missionary before I came here. But I was so glad to go to Mexico and meet local people. First, I was a little afraid to attend this program because of language. Even English is my second language for me, and in Mexico, the native language is Spanish. And I just knew the hola and uno, dos, tres. And now I learned a couple of sentences and words, but I just can't introduce myself. And my favorite part of this trip was talking with local people. They're so kind and told me many things about Mexico and Jesus. The morning and the breakfast time, the lunch time, dinner time. If I had a time, I tried to make a time to talk with them because I just had 6 days to spend with them. One day I was talking with old men and who can speak just Spanish, but we use gesture and very easy, basic Spanish, and we talk about 10 minutes. I think it's awesome. And I met my host, Sister Molly, and she's in Mexico, so that was the third time to see her. But we had a really good time, and her Spanish was really good, and I thought I need to study English more. Also, I respect her so much, our sister and one of the women. One night, she spoke about her and God. I was impressed. Yes, the food was really good. But we had a most meal at the church, and they made homemade tortillas for us. That was amazing, and I wanted to learn how to make it. We had Mexican traditional food too. I forgot the name of the food, but it was like a soup with beef and vegetable. I wanna eat it again. Every morning, we had a time to read a Bible and connect with God individually. I love the time. That was like a special time for me. The morning, it was really cold, but we could see sunrise and beautiful beauty with reading Bible. And unfortunately, I couldn't feel God in this trip. Honestly, I had never felt God before. I started to learn about God in this summer. I think I needed more time to connect with him. But I know that he always welcomed me, and in this trip, welcomed me. In this trip, I learned about God a lot, and I liked to learn about him. I couldn't feel him in this time, but I felt I became closer to God than before. Thank you for listening.
I didn't buy one of these cool sweatshirts down there, so I brought my cool backpack. And but I had never been there before, so on my way down there, my prayer was, oh, we have a whole bunch of energetic high school students, and I said, God, I pray that I pray that we can, you know, bless people on this trip. And so during the trip, one of the things that we got to do, well, we got to go out and have kind of a set-aside time in the morning where we got to kind of read God's Word and pray. And I praise God because that's one of the habits that I've gotten to carry on to my personal life. So that was really neat. And then what really struck me as I met those people and got to help them with certain things is that everything I saw down there was a direct reflection and sort of a witness and testimony to me of what happens when some people go somewhere and specifically let God's love reflect off of them however they can in faith. And that was really amazing. So especially with the family that Molly was living with, Andy and Monica, the missionaries down there, they were really amazing people, and it was cool to get to meet them. And all the Mexican kids down there, it was really fun to get to meet them. And even though I don't speak Spanish, I found out that one totally universal language is laughing at each other, which was great. There's always something to laugh at. So in conclusion to that, my prayer on the way down there was, God, help us bless people. And then my prayer on the way back was, God, thank you for blessing me with that experience. So.
We're going to have four more of our group share at this time. So we're going to have Tina and Sierra and Aiden and Josiah make their way up here. And you have a microphone that works?
Yeah.
We'll let you start then, Tina, and you can pass the microphone down. So.
Okay. So this was my first trip to Mexico also. I think it was the first for a lot of us. And when you're down there, they organize some work projects for you to do. And the first day I got there, I was kind of frustrated because I didn't have a project. I kind of wandered around. There's too many people there. There's too many people there. There's too many people there. What do I do? So I ended up in the kitchen and, you know, way outside my comfort zone. but I did spend some time with the locals. There was only one person there that spoke English, and he was the main guy, so he was doing everything. And so I spent time, you know, just trying to get past the language barrier of, you know, what do you want me to do? And they're just, okay. So that was fun. And somehow along the line, they got the impression I was Molly's mom. I don't know still what I said or what I didn't say to make them think that. Somebody else came and went, no, no. And I was like, what are they even talking about? Finally, I realized that's what it was. I was like, oh, no, that's not me. But after that, I spent a lot of time shoveling dirt, which in Mexico is very rocky, and so you'd be digging and then thunk, and so that was a lot of fun. But we kind of would move from this hillside to that hillside, and so it was like literally moving mountains down there. And you'll see in the pictures maybe some exactly how steep some of the mountains are. But I was really impressed with the kids in Mexico, the youth that we went with, not just ours, but the ones from Sweet Home as well. It was really sweaty, dirty, you know, hot work. We weren't able to wear shorts and tank tops like we're used to here to keep cool. And nobody really complained. They just got in there. Some of them just really just, you know, did their jobs and had a smile, and they were, you know, grateful and genuinely just, like, got along with everybody. I thought that was great because sometimes, you know, kids when they travel can get kind of cranky, at least mine can. And so I was just really, you know, heartened to see that they weren't like that, at least all the time. One of my favorite things about the trip itself was that it happened to be during Easter week, and every night we had Bible study. And before Bible study, Christina would lead us in wonderful worship. And then Dawn, one of the other leaders, would come up and tell us what was happening in the life of Jesus on that day. And that was just really great to me because you read the story and you kind of read it from beginning to end every time. But to actually break it down by day and say, this is what happened on Sunday, this is what happened on, you know, Tuesday, Thursday, that was really fun because then you just, you wanted to tune in for, okay, what was going to happen the next day. So that was, I really enjoyed that part. And God's lesson for me in the end ended up being a lot different than I expected. I kind of thought I would have the eye-opening, I think that Suzumi was talking about, you know, God talking to you and stuff. And while I felt him there, and especially during the morning prayer and everything, what I learned was a lot about myself in that I'm more of a control freak than I realized. And when we go on vacations and trips, I'm always the planner. I have the stuff all laid out. This is what we're going to do every day, every minute of the day. And in Mexico, I really had to let that go. And it took 2 or 3 days before I could finally just say, okay. And it was funny because when I left here, I thought it was going to be like that. I think I texted Justin like 3 days. Where are we going exactly? You know, I didn't even know. I just was I'll just get on the bus and they'll take me there and I'll do what they say. But I immediately got back into that. Okay, what are we doing? Why aren't we working? Why, you know, where do we need to be? When do we need to be there? Why aren't we there if we're supposed to be there? And that was really hard for me to get over. But I prayed a lot about it during the devotion time, and I think by the end of it, I really did calm down into that, mellow down, and just go with the flow and do what God tells you to do. So, thank you.
Okay, so I started this trip with a lot of fear, you know, fear of like what I'd find or what I wouldn't find, and a lot of like people who know me know that I'm really shy and not really patient, so like being on the bus for 2 days was kind of difficult for me, but I learned that patience while I was there. You know, I've always heard stories from everybody who's been there, who's been on other missions trips about like, you know, that God moment that they had, and I'd never had that God moment before, so, you know, I was kind of worried that maybe I never would be somebody who had that moment. But for some reason, I just, like, really felt something inside of me that was just, like, Sierra, you have to go. Like, you should be there. And so, you know, just, like, I went, and from the start, I just really connected with, you know, the girls and then the guys and just really got out of my comfort zone. And, you know, I'd been in youth group with them, like, all year, but I hadn't really known them. You know, Aiden didn't even know my name until this trip. So then I left Mexico with, you know, a new family, which is huge for me. And I remember one of the most impactful moments for me was Dawn had to sit in front of the whole group, and everybody was, like, supposed to raise their hands and, you know, tell, like, say out loud what they liked about me. And, you know, that was terrifying for me because I didn't want to be in front of the whole crowd, and I didn't know them, and so they didn't know me. So, like, what were they going to say? So, you know, I was just afraid that I was going to sit there, and nobody was going to raise their hand. It was going to be awkward. But then, like, I looked up, and just, like, it was so shocking how many people had their hands raised. You know, all these strangers had something to say. And it just, like, took my breath away. And then, you know, Abby was, like, the first one to raise her hand, and all she could say was, I just love you so much. And she's crying, you know. It was an emotional night. Everybody was crying at the end of it. But then, like, later on the way back to our rooms, she told me in the van, she's like, don't look at me, but I'm going to tell you what I was going to say, but if you look at me, I'll cry again. So I looked away, and she told me just, like, that she felt like I was almost like another sister to her, and that she just, you know, and I just wanted you to know that, you know, all of you, I feel like the same way. You guys are like sisters now. And that was just... That was, I realized, you know, that was my God moment, just to see his, like, his love and his kindness work through everybody there. And just to come home with not only greater relationships with the youth, but to have a greater relationship with God that I never thought that I would be lucky enough to have. And I'm excited to go again next year and to see what he has planned for me. And I'm just thankful for all of your prayers and for the safety on this trip and for everybody. And that made it possible for me to go. So thank you.
Well, this is my first time going to Mexico, and I don't know what to expect. I was kind of just like wondering what would happen. So, I mean, like, I like working and stuff. I work hard, but over there it's like different because you like they have a limited amount of resources. So we kind of, I'm used to working fast, based, try to get a lot of stuff done. I like getting as much stuff as I can get done in a day, but there you kind of just work, goof off. You kind of like kind of work half the time. And yeah, so, and then the things I really I liked about it was that we got to go to orphanage and stuff and go help there, and I can kind of like I know what it's like not to have parents like all the time, so and that's one thing I really wanted to go do, and I kind of really want to go back and help because it's something that God put on my heart to go do, and that's basically all I did in Mexico was just basically work all the time.
Okay, so I feel like for me, things really kind of kicked off the first day when we got in Mexico. I'm just going to share this with you. There's this giant hill, and it had like these three crosses on it. It was just gorgeous, and you could like see like this amazing view, and hopefully there's a picture of it. But we first got there, and I was like, I have to go climb this. Like, I have to see what's at the top. So I found Austin. I was like, Austin, let's go. And we ran up the whole thing. It was amazing, and that was super hard. And then every morning, I just like I hiked the hill like every morning to do my devotion, and that was super cool. And on the second day, God really spoke to me. The first day when we did our devotions, there's a section that said in verse 19 of James chapter 1, my dear brothers, take note. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteousness of God's desires. Therefore, get rid of all formal filth and evils that prevent you, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And then here in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word as you so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And then he goes on, but that part where it says, you know, doing what the word says is super important. And it was super cool because after I read this, I actually got to practice what I learned, you know, doing what the word says each day, you know, and whether that was by, you know, just being super kind to the people who are there, or by, you know, working really hard, kind of working, like Josiah said, because they don't have as many resources. So when the resources kind of run out, you got to wait till you can get more, just kind of hang around. But that was still super fun, working really, really hard. And I think that was super cool how, you know, what I learned here in the devotion, I gotta actually practice and put to use each day. And I think that was what impacted me, was that, like, not only was I learning, but I was practicing what I was learning. And that's where I feel like God really used me the most, was just by, you know, hearing something in the Bible and then actually living it out in my life and seeing the fruit that it really does have. And that was just a testimony that, you know, God is really working around me and through me, is by I can read this in the Bible, and I can actually do it that very day and, like, see the results. It was super eye-opening, super cool. I was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, it got me really excited. Like, I got to find more things to do. And that was super fun. And I just really had a blast working and doing all sorts of crazy things. And I feel like that's really where I learned a lot and the most, and that was super cool.
Thank you, guys. It's so awesome to hear from you. So at this time, we do have a video to roll, so hopefully you can see it. If the big bush is in your way, you might want to move, but maybe we can move some microphones here, too. Right. You'll notice I left out all embarrassing photos of myself. So we'll have our last three come and share. Maybe we can get lights back on, too. But we'll have our last three. So Elizabeth, Abby, and Emily, we'll invite them to come and share, and then we'll do some more worship. So
I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I told somebody, I said, I'm just all about just sharing it all. So I went to Mexico to see Molly. why not? Free trip, and you know, get on down, get on a bus, go see Molly. And when, first of all, the bus ride was, it was beautiful. I loved being on the bus because of the interactions with all the kids. But for a 44-year-old, it was not the most comfortable place. So I will be, I'll be honest, that was not fun. So we get there, and I expect to see Molly in Mexico, right? I can't find Molly anywhere. I'm, ¿dónde está Molly? ¿Dónde está Molly? Where is Molly? And so she wasn't there with her arms wide open, greeting, you know, ready to greet me like I am when she comes home. So that kind of started me off a little grumpy, I'll be honest. And talked about, you know, what did God teach you in Mexico? God taught me that I have a lot of insecurities. And I don't think of, that word is not a word that I use in my vocabulary very often, because I, you know, I can get up in front and I can, you know, be out in front. But I think from the get-go, Molly wasn't there. And, you know, if you were to say a number one word for Molly, you might use the word insecurities. Well, in Mexico, it completely flip-flopped. I was the one, you know, hovering behind her, holding her hand, and she was the one was like, Mom, come on, come on, what's wrong with you? You know, and I just said, because she's never seen me that way. So that was a really, I had to really work through that with the Lord. Even at one time, she completely left me. And I said, where are you going? And she said, you need to experience Mexico without holding my hand. And I thought, gosh. How often do we say that? Do I say that to my own kids? Let go away, you know, and so to be on that other end. So God really worked on my insecurities. But I was going to share a few highlights with you of my time in Mexico. Obviously, the number one highlight was seeing Molly find her passion. I know it's kind of about me, but to be able to, you know, she has been floundering in what she's supposed to do. And she has found her passion. And, you know, some of you have said, how could you dare let her go to, you know, South Africa if she goes to South Africa? And I said, when you see your kid in their passion and you know that they're serving the Lord, it's easy. You know, it's not, I mean, not that it's going to be all without, you know, hardships, but that's what we've trained them to do. That's what we've raised them up. And to see them go out and do it, that was probably the biggest highlight of, you know, seeing her. I was explaining it to somebody. You know, Molly is there, and she's got her posse of, you know, Mexican boys all around her. And it was like Wendy and the Lost Boys. I mean, if you know Peter Pan, right? That was Molly and her, you know, her posse of boys. And it was pretty cute because they were pretty nice to me because I was, you know, soy la mamá de Molly is what I would say. Soy la mamá de Molly is, I am the mother of Molly. And so that was kind of fun getting to know her friends. I've heard all the names. And now when she calls, they're all in the background, you know, Molly's mama. Molly's mama. So she's being very well taken care of, but she is taking care of people very well down there. Before I went, I asked Molly, you know, I knew what going to Mexico was like. I knew it was going to be a lot of dirt shoveling and a lot of, you know, hard work. And not that I didn't want to do that, but I really wanted to use the gifts that God has given me. So I asked Monica before we went down, I said, I love kids, and is there something that I can do to bring my gift of kids and crafts and bring it to Mexico? And so I packed a whole suitcase of crafts to take down, and the kids were all on spring break while we were down there. So it was kind of fun. We got to see a lot of the kids. And so the highlight of my day was doing crafts with the kids. I speak no Spanish, none. Like, I can say my colors, and I could count to 10. I now can count to 20. I'm very proud of myself. Thank you. That was a highlight. So Molly came down, and we thought Monica was going to be in there with us to help translate and stuff. Well, she was nowhere to be found, so it was Molly. I told Molly, I said, you have to come with me because I don't know any Spanish. So that was just a blessing to go down and bless those kids. And she said after we left, they kept coming up to her, Molly, are we going to do summer school? Because that's what they call it. Are you going to do summer school? Where's your mom? Where's your mom? And she's like, oh, my mom left. So that was really fun to be able to do that. The other thing that I did on the last day that we were there is I just went, it just seems so crazy because in American life, we just wouldn't do this. It's kind of creepy. But I just went up and down the streets and just stopped and just talked with people by myself. Molly wasn't there. I speak no Spanish. And I just, there was one picture of me and a group of kids. I just stopped and talked to this family. Again, I don't know any Spanish other than I told them I'm Molly's mom. I could understand a few things that she was saying, but we sat there for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I had one of the locals had come with me. He was carrying something for me, and he was just up the way, and he never came down to help me. But it's like Suzumi said, you can sit there and talk with somebody without even language, just with smiles and laughter. Somebody mentioned the laughter, and what a blessing that is to cross-culturally be able to communicate with laughter and joy. And so that was one of my favorite things. I honestly have to say thank you for sending me to a resort in Mexico. So thank you very much. We were fed amazingly. I did dishes one day. It was the first day. Tina and I were kind of in the same boat. We're like, we sent everybody off to their groups, and then we're like, there were three of us moms, and we hadn't really communicated much, you know, on the trip. And so we all ended up, you know, in the kitchen washing dishes or helping. And we all kind of stood around. We said, I thought we're supposed to be, you know, getting out of our comfort zone, and I'm washing dishes. This is not out of my comfort zone. But what a blessing it was to get to know these other moms. And it was the first time that we really had connected on that trip. And that paved the way for just beautiful relationships between the parents and things. And I sat there and I had to go, you know, at home I do dishes, but I do not do dishes with joy. And so to sit there and do dishes with joy, and it did not end. There were more dishes and more dishes and more dishes. And so it didn't have to be on dish duty after that. But again, just reminding yourself that, you know, just because we're in Mexico, you know, our mindset changes, but we can take that, we can come back home and we can do that. As I was scrubbing floors, one of the jobs that we got to do, which was kind of nice. I'm to be honest, you know, a lot of the kids were up in the heat and in the sun and digging. We, our group of girls, we went down and painted the school where Molly goes to every day. So we went down and we were in charge of that project to paint the school. And that was really fun. There was something I was going to go with that, but I totally lost it. But that was one of the things that we got to do and do that with. So we got to be with Molly every day, and we enjoyed that and a lot of the locals that were there. But again, thank you. It was an amazing time. Monica and Andy, you know, I talk about Go Outreach. This is an amazing couple who is pouring out their hearts and their lives to these people. And I think I had heard it, but I really saw it, that they don't have a lot, but every time they left the church to go to the orphanage or to go to the nursing home, they took food. They took, you know, from what little they have, and they took it and shared it with others. And to see that was just pretty powerful and pretty amazing. And they pour out their hearts. This orphanage, and I don't know how much you've heard about the orphanage. The orphanage 3 years ago was a terrible place. This specific spot in the orphanage for the handicapped children. And there was nobody taking care of them. They were taking care of themselves. And so if you can even imagine, I won't go into detail, but we heard stories of what this orphanage, what this part of the orphanage looked like for these disabled kids. And so we were able to go there. I got to go there on the second day. And knowing the backstory that Monica and her brother, who is also there, came down, and they completely changed the mindset of the people working in the orphanage, that these disabled kids are people too, and we need to take care of them. And they have made a difference in that orphanage and in the lives of those kids. And a super highlight, there's so many, but before we left the orphanage, Monica's brother gathered us all around the picnic table, and he said, he started singing this song in Spanish. And all the disabled kids, and some of them were pretty shy, and some of them, you know, wouldn't even come near us, but they just, in full-fledged song, started singing, I Know a Friend I Have in Jesus, right? And they're singing at the top of their lungs. And then when they're done, he says, do any of you want to pray? And he's talking to his disabled kids. And they just started praying. And you wouldn't even, you know, some of them couldn't even communicate, but then they prayed. And they prayed in Spanish, and I have no idea, you know, what they said. But their prayers, that touched my heart immensely, how they could take that and just they just love Jesus, and they love the people that come down and serve them. So thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. A highlight for me was watching Suzumi, and she already shared the story about the man, but I'm standing there, and Molly and I are looking, and we're like, this guy, and he doesn't even speak Spanish. He speaks Mixteco. So he's the older generation. So she's over there. She speaks Japanese, right? And for 10 minutes, we sat there and watched, and they were somehow communicating, and that was just a huge blessing to watch her. And so, anyhow, thank you again for all that you've done and for supporting all of us.
So, hi, I'm Abby, and the reason I went to Mexico wasn't really God-centered, even though I wanted it to be, like, really God-centered. Kind of went there to get, like, a tan and stuff and have some fun, and it was a free trip. But on our way there, Don, he was the other pastor, he said to have no expectations for Mexico because every trip is, like, unique to what it is if you let God work in your life. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to focus on just nothing, I guess, just in the moment. I was like, so I really connected with Sierra and Emily and Suzumi on the way down there. Like, we've been in church and stuff and youth group, but we didn't ever really talk that much. Like, we talked, like, I would be like, oh, hi. That was about it. And so when I went there, it was just like, it was amazing because God really worked in my heart. He, like, I have a lot of, like, anxiety and stuff, and he kind of, like, took that, like, all away while I was down in Mexico. So, yeah, and one of my favorite parts was at the orphanage because I could connect with the little kids there, and I kind of knew what they were going through, and it was awesome for me, and, yeah, and I really like the food. I love tortillas, and I got to flip the tortillas, and I was so happy, like, because I went in the kitchen, and me and Emily washed the dishes, which there was a ton of dishes, and I thought I was done, and then he was like, no, there's more, look in the bin. Yeah, so it was really fun. Thank you.
First off, I just want to thank you for your support and prayers that made it possible for us to go on this trip. As you know, we went to a small town, San Antonio de las Minas, where we helped the missionaries Andy and Monica with their work in the community. This was my second time going down there, and I'm really glad I got the opportunity to go again. Last year, this was something that was way out of my comfort zone. I'd never been on a missions trip before, not to mention outside of this country. So it was a huge step for me in learning to push myself to do things that I'm not comfortable with and to trust in God's plan. This year, I found myself nervous for a different reason. I kind of knew what to expect from the trip since I had gone last year. And I had such a great experience, but what I was struggling with was my expectations and fearing that I wouldn't measure up to the experience that I had last year. That's when I realized that also this trip like wasn't about me, and that it was about helping out this community and serving God's purpose. So I had to take a step back and change my perspective. Our first night there, one of our leaders, Don, he said something that really stuck out to me. He said that whatever expectations we have going into a situation will define our experience that we have there. So in other words, by going into this trip with my expectation of it kind of not meeting what I had last year and the kind of the fear, then that's what I would find. So the next morning, I was just ready to experience this as, like, something new and not trying to compare it to last year. One of my favorite parts about this trip would be the relationships and the connections that we made. Even though it was a relatively short period of time, it's crazy, like, how close you grow to this group of people. And it was so amazing being able to spend time around all these people who were there just to serve God and to love God. Another one of my favorite aspects about a trip parts would be the devotion time that we had in the morning. During our trip, we went over the book of James, and every morning we would wake up and go outside, and we would just read James, and we would reflect on what we were reading and kind of think. And it was so nice, like that peace and quiet Something in James that stuck out to me, caught my attention, was James chapter 1, 23 through 24. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Also, James talks a lot about how faith without good deeds is dead and how you should show your faith by what you do. When your faith and your actions are working together, they are complete. One of the main points it goes over in James is our faith and what our faith should look like. One of our leaders, Jenny, she talked to us on James chapter 2 in one of our evening services. And one thing she said that really stuck out to me is that faith is putting into action what you believe. Now that I'm back home, it's really easy to fall back into old habits, especially with like my senior year coming to a close and preparing to go to college and everything is just so busy. And so, yeah, I struggle with making more time for God in my life, telling myself excuses that I'm too busy or I'm just too tired or, you know. So now that I'm back from the trip, I want to continue building my relationship with God. And with His help, I'm making it my priority to overcome the struggle, to put Him first in my life.
I know we're running a little late. Thank you guys for your patience. I think it's so valuable for you to hear from all of our students and those that went and the impact it had in their lives. I just wanted to share with you briefly a little bit from James this morning. Before we get into it, I did want to mention that we said this week we would take an offering for camp scholarships to help send our kids to camp in the summer. And so if you want to give towards that, we have the Care Fund box out back. So I know it's marked Care Fund, but this morning it'll be designated for camp scholarships. So anything you want to be able to give towards sending our kids to camp this summer, you can put that back there. If you write a check, you can designate camp scholarships on there and drop it in the box afterwards. So let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this. Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for the impact you had in all of our lives. Thank you for the teens being willing to come up and share and the way you worked and continue to work. Thank you for this congregation that gets behind its teens and its children and supports them in you working in their lives. Teach us more from your word this morning, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So they already hit my points this morning. You heard it all from them, so it'll go quick, but they gave me, we got like 10 minutes to cover the entire book of James. So you guys ready? We're going to just hit a couple things this morning. If you really want to know more from James, I encourage you to go home and read it. But we'll just hit a couple things. First, I wanted to mention to you guys that we're just so thankful for your support. We're thankful for you getting behind our teens. You hear from them the impact it has in their lives. But without your prayer, without your financial support, without all that you guys do for them, this trip wouldn't be possible. And so I'm so thankful to each and every one of you. This is the future of our church. It's the future of the church in America. And you guys are investing into that. And I'm so thankful for that and the impact it's had in their lives. It has in my life. And I trust it has in your life through hearing from them and interacting with them. I put down here that you wouldn't recognize Molly from a year ago. And maybe you noticed that from some of the video, from what Elizabeth shared. And that is what we see from trips like this, and you start to hear it in their lives now, and many of them mentioned that they don't want it to stop now that they're home. They want it to continue. And so one of my things that I would encourage you to do is many of you drew names before they left to go to Mexico, and you prayed for them that week. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop praying for those names, because it's easy to fall back into the rut of where you are. And we're actually going to talk about that a little bit later, but pray for them that what they learned, how God challenged them, how God challenged us, they would continue to make the effort to plug into who He is in their lives. Mexico provides a great atmosphere to have the opportunity to go and connect with Christ, but it's really the Holy Spirit that does the changing. And so as we talk and you hear from them, know that while it's a conducive environment and there's more opportunities, it's the Holy Spirit who does life change. And the Holy Spirit can do life change here, and he does. And so please pray and continue to pray for the Holy Spirit to change lives, to change their lives, to change our lives. So the other thing I wanted to mention, you hear it and you hear it from them, is it's just so valuable, and something that really has struck me, and it struck me last year, but I continue to be reminded, is people are the priority. I think of a message that we listened to back at our parent conference weekend. I should have wrote it down, but it says we get so busy doing ministry that we miss out on ministry. And what that means is we get so busy doing things. Like, I can get so busy preparing my Sunday school lesson, my youth group lessons. I can get so busy doing all of these things that I miss out on ministry. And what we mean by that is we miss out on people and connecting with people. And that challenges me. And that's, in Mexico, you see them live that out. People are the priority. You see them put aside things that they need to do, what they feel like, what we... And that's good. It's good that I'm preparing for my Sunday school lessons or my youth lessons. But we can get so busy doing that that we miss out on relationship. And God has built us for relationship, and God has built us to connect with people, and people are the priority. And you've heard that from them, and just the way that they talk about work. And work is good, and we do the work there, and it helps them accomplish a lot. But in all of that, it's the relationships that are built that are the priority, and the work provides means to create relationships and to cross-culturally connect about Christ and to laugh and to have fun and to try to communicate without being able to talk. And it's amazing to see the Lord work. And so challenge you for that for your own life as well, is do we get so busy doing things, even good things, that we miss out on relationships and we miss out on people and what God created us for? So this, we looked at James in Mexico, and we had 5 nights where we do our own lessons, and we connect, and we did a chapter a night. And so we walked through the whole book of James. And so what I wanted to talk, we have 2 points, but before we even get into that, we wanted to talk a minute about who James is. Who is this James? And I think it gives us a little perspective into the book. And Don, who's kind of the spiritual leader of the whole trip while we're there, really addressed this, and it was really neat for me to hear. I'd never kind of thought about this before, but most scholars believe that the James who wrote this book is James, the brother of Jesus. Pretty much all evidence really points towards that. Just on the time frame of when it was written, the writing style, and just different things, it points towards it being James. And so on that basis and that premises, let's think about who James is. Let's think about the brother of Jesus and what that would have been like growing up. You know, Jesus had a reputation here. We know he didn't start his ministry until he was 30, but Jesus was born into being, he's the Messiah. He's our future king. He dies for our sins. And so imagine growing up as the brother of Jesus and what that would look like. And kind of take a minute and think about, you know, our families who we're closest to. It's who we see in their highs and in their lows, in their best moments and their worst moments. And imagine being a brother of Jesus and growing up with Jesus. And now we know from Scripture, John 7:5, and I think it's on the screen, it says, "For not even his brothers believed in him." So we know that his own family didn't believe who he was, who he said he was, who he came to be. His own brothers didn't believe that. So imagine having Jesus as a brother. He's going to live out this ministry that we can read about in Scripture, that people, he's ostracized for it. People, the Pharisees really come after him for it. And then you're the brother. You're related to that. You're a part of that. People will automatically associate you, and you don't believe he is who he says he is. So you can't really stand behind him. You can't say, yeah, I believe it. It builds that tough reputation and that hard relationship there. We read in Mark 6:1-5, it says, "He went away from there," this is Jesus, "and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, 'Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joses, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, 'A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So Jesus went to his hometown, and it's where he is without honor. People didn't accept him. His own family didn't accept him. His relatives, he was cast out. He was not welcome there. His own family didn't welcome him. So, I mean, some of you have crazy family dynamics. Some of you have, you could all probably tell stories of different history and what's going on in your family. And this is what's going on in the life of Jesus and in his family. And think about it from the perspective of James. And then we know at the crucifixion, his brothers most likely weren't there. Jesus, while he's hanging on the cross, looks at John and says, "Take care of my mother." Now, that's in John 19, but that's the oldest son's responsibility in that time frame, was to take care of his mother. And so with his passing, he needed to pass that on to his brothers. And because they weren't there, he had to pass it on to the disciple whom he loved. He passed it on to John. And so the disciple, or his brothers, were absent at his crucifixion. They still didn't believe who he was. They let him go and be killed and just were not anywhere around. And they didn't care what was going on in his life. And so it's not until Jesus comes back to life and appears to his brothers, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 15, that it gets a hold of James. And James realizes that Jesus is who he said he was. And his life is changed. And then he writes a book. He writes a book about it. And so here's James, who rejected Jesus, rejected him as a brother, who he was, wasn't welcome in his hometown. And so picture that dynamic, picture that relationship, picture the person that you're close with, that you grow up with. We know all the fun boys have together, all the things they would have done. And yet you reject him, and then you realize that he is who he says he is, and everything he claimed is true, and it gets a hold of you. And so what I picture and what Don helped us picture when we read this was that here's James, and he's going to give you all of this practical advice. And he says, "Look, I've missed out for all of these years. I lived so close to Jesus, and I missed it. I was confused, I was blind to it, and I miss it, and I don't want you to miss it. I want you to know who he is and the power it has in your life and the way that you should live because of Jesus' power in your life." And so when we really think about it from that way, it's like, take note, learn from my mistakes. I missed out. I don't want you to miss out. And so here's what I know. Here's what I've learned. Here's who Jesus is. And so kind of with that perspective in mind, let's look at a couple of things. But even as you read it again in the future, think about it from that perspective, from James, who was right there and missed it. And he wants you to get it so we don't miss it. Like I said, we don't have time to look at the whole book, so just a couple quick things. First, in James 3, it's on the screen, but you can turn there too. So we'll kind of do one point from the book, and then we'll kind of do a whole the book as a whole. But so your point one, and it's on your outline, but it says, "The power of words." And I think it was Sierra you kind of heard talk about this, so she took point number one. But the power of words, James 3, 5 through 12 says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water." And so why James comes at this of the approach of what of the damage that words can do, we know then that the opposite is true. The value of positive words and what that can do. 1,000 compliments and one insult still equals one insult. And I think we all know that in our lives, the power of words. And we played this game in Mexico, and that's what Sierra was talking about. It actually, Don does it at his youth group. And it was born out of 3 years ago when he went to Mexico. He took one of these girls, went with him, and he had a chance to talk to her. He didn't know her that well. And just be honest with her about where she was at in her relationship with Christ and kind of just speak into her life. And a couple months later when they got home, she passed away. And he this game was built out of that he had no regrets. He got to talk with her candidly and speak truth into her life and speak positive into her life, so he had no regrets about missing out on what he should have said to her. And so he started this game where he'll put a kid up front. It's not really a game, but he calls it that. But they get up front, and anybody can raise their hand and speak positive truth into their life, what they see in them, what they notice about who they are, who God's made them to be. And it's such a powerful time to hear positive truths about who you are. And so we did it in Mexico. You heard Sierra say she was one of the ones up front. A couple of our other kids were also up there. We've done it since we've been home here at youth group. And a kid who didn't go to Mexico wrote me later that night, who I put up front, and he said, "That was awesome. I'm really glad we did that." And so what I have seen from this is the value of positive words that we need to speak into each other's lives. And what I've learned and what I've been challenged with is that the truth that we need to speak positive words into each other's lives. If the person sitting next to you passed away this week, would you have any regrets of what you should have said to them or what you shouldn't have said to them? And we shouldn't wait for those moments when life gets tough or when things get hard. We should be speaking that positive truth, that encouragement into each other's lives throughout the day. And so that's one thing I've tried to do better. And I challenge you all with is those around you, encourage them, speak truth into their life. What you notice about who God's made them to be, encourage them. We all need that. We need that uplifting. We've been built for community. And I believe that this is one of the ways that God built us for community. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing." We've been looking both in Galatians and in Philippians with youth group, but it talks a lot about unity. I had a sermon series here about a year ago where we talked about unity. And one of the best ways that we can build unity as a church family is to do just this. We can speak truth into each other's life. We can encourage one another and say, "Hey, I've noticed this about you. I'm so thankful for that. You're amazing in this way, and I'm so glad you're a part of our church family." We all know the power of positive words and the encouragement when we hear that and that we need it. And so my challenge to you is to do that. Find someone today to go say a kind word to say a word of encouragement. And through that, I really believe that unity can be built and strengthened, and as a church family, we can love each other. So why wouldn't you, why wouldn't you take opportunities to do that? Life is tough. There's plenty of other stuff that tears each other down, tears us down. Satan attacks. We don't need to do it with our words. You have the power to speak truth and life and hope and joy into the lives of others. So why wouldn't you? Into your spouse and your children and your coworkers and your brothers and sisters in Christ. So I pray that you do. And then the other point is that you can't separate faith and works. And you heard, I don't remember who talked about this, but someone definitely talked about this too. This is kind of the theme of the whole book of James. He talked about all these practical ways to live out your faith. And what he's getting at is that you can't separate your faith and your works. They have to go together. And so James 2:17-18, I think it was, someone read some verses that go along with this too. But so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works and I will show you my faith by my works." John Calvin said, "It is faith alone that justifies." We all know that. Faith alone justifies. But faith that justifies can never be alone. You can't claim to be a Christian. You can't claim to have a relationship with Jesus and not have demonstration of that in your life, to be living out the fruits of the Spirit, to be living out speaking truth into each other's lives. You know, it's that old saying, you can't just talk the talk, you must also walk the walk. You can't claim to be a Christian and not live it out. Would someone you know identify you as someone of positive conduct, of someone who lives this out, of someone who lives out a life that represents Jesus? And I don't necessarily mean someone here at church who sees you and knows that you love the Lord. Would someone else identify you that way? Would they recognize the way that you live out your life in a positive way for the Lord? You are either defined by the fruit of the Spirit or you're not. When your boss unfairly accuses you, do you respond peacefully with patience and understanding? When you unexpectedly face a difficult health situation, do you respond with joy because God has it in control? When your friend talks about you behind your back, do you respond with kindness? When someone cuts you off on the highway, do you respond with self-control? When the car dealership rips you off, do you respond with faithfulness? When your family member takes advantage of you, do you respond with love? And so on and so forth. There's many things we could go forward with. Paul tells us without this representing our life, our faith is dead. I always joked at camp in Alaska that I wanted to do a zombie theme. So here I'm going to get to say zombie in church. But that's really the picture that comes to my mind. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're not living it out, it says your faith without works is dead. You're just like a zombie who's dead, but kind of dragging itself around. For me, it brings a good mental picture, but we need to have that as part of our life, and that's what James wants you to know. You have to live it out. You can't claim to be a Christian and not live it out. In all situations, at all moments, God is either a part of your life or he isn't. You're living for him or you're not. You're choosing to bring him glory or you're not. And if you're choosing not to, your faith is dead. It has no value. And so what you heard from them is that it's easy. It's easy in Mexico where everybody's getting up at 6:30 to read their Bible, where everybody loves the Lord and is serving. It's easy. It's easy for you when you're here at church and you're sitting around in your Sunday school talking about the Lord, or we're worshiping together here in church. It's easy to live out our faith. But what about at home when nobody's looking? What about in your job? What about in your relationships outside of church? Wherever God takes you, what does it look like there? What does it look like in those moments? And that's really what defines us and makes us who we are. And so that's where we need the Holy Spirit. And that's where we need to pray for each other and encourage each other and know that we need to live out our faith and not just claim to have it. So this is what James is all about. He talks about the practical areas of our faith and that we need to live it out. And so make God a part of all areas of your life today. Let's close with a word of prayer and then we'll finish up with a song. Lord, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you so much of the power of what you did in our lives in Mexico. But God, we know it's not Mexico. We know that that was just an avenue to change. God, we know that your Holy Spirit is with us. And that even though it can be more of a challenge in routine and the busyness of life here, help us not to miss out on people and speaking kind words to each other and uplifting each other and encouraging each other on through the difficult parts of life that we face. God, I pray that we would live out our faith in all areas of our life, not just here at church, not just in mission trips, not just in our Bible studies, but God, in all areas, God, that we would represent you and bring glory to you. God, help us to spur one another on to love and good deeds. We have a church family that loves each other and loves you. And God, you provide opportunities for us in our church family to encourage each other to that relationship with you and to living it out in a world that needs to see you and to know your love. Thank you for this time and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.